Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. Thanks for checking out this podcast from Connecting Faith. You can hear the show live each weekday at noon on Faith Radio. And there are many more podcasts for this and all our Faith Radio shows available online. Our web address is myfaithradio.com. And thanks for your gifts to this listener-supported ministry. Enjoy the podcast.
Always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting Faith with Life.
Nice to have you listening to Connecting Faith again. Welcome to the broadcast. I'm Neil Stavem, and we always appreciate the opportunity to get together with you. Hope you've had a wonderful day so far and enjoying these in the last days of summer. I guess they're not really officially last days of summer, Ted, but they are. It's coming.
It's coming. Fall starts, what, September 20th? Is that right?
Yeah, right Somewhere around there. I think so. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Our girls are already back at school as of this month, Monday,
oh,
so they're in day
okay.
three.
Yes. So did you, do you have all the electronic equipment for your kids, the iPads and, you know, the phones, all those things?
Not for school, but they have some of those devices at home.
Okay. Yeah. They don't have them for school. So.
No, it's too much of a distraction there. The school actually doesn't allow that. So.
Okay.
Some schools hand them out, though, at school.
Yeah. We're going to talk a little bit today about sort of getting ready back to school, some of those things. But mm-hmm. it does remind us that, of course, fall kind of around the corner. That's our time here at Faith Radio when we take care of the financial needs for the ministry and invite your participation. And so our fall share is coming up here beginning September 9th. And if you are a part of our support team and sign up before September 9th, your name's going to be entered into a drawing for an Apple iPad. And it comes preloaded with a Bible app, the Faith Radio mobile app, devotionals, and other faith-based materials to help you connect faith to life. And you can visit MyFaithRadio.com for more details on that.
Wonderful resource. Check that out. MyFaithRadio.com. Good call.
And I'm not sure if you can use it in your school or not, but if you're going to school.
I was going to say, relax with it at home after school.
That's sure. Right? All right. We're going to talk a little about that, too. What do you do when your kids come home from school and you ask them about, you know, how was your day? And they had the one word syllable. Fine. Yes.
Good.
No. So, yeah.
Sometimes
yeah.
they'll even say more words than don't talk to me, and that's always
fun.
Sure.
Okay. All right. Well, we're going to get some great advice today. We're excited to welcome back our good friend Kathy Lipp coming back to Connecting Faith. Kathy inspires thousands of women each year to take beneficial steps in their personal, marital, and spiritual lives through purposeful living. And Kathy has authored a number of books. Maybe you've read some. I hope you have. The Husband Project, The Marriage Project, The Me Project, The What's for Dinner Solution, which I'm kind of interested in at the moment, The Get Yourself Organized Solution, not that one, not so much, 21 Ways to Connect with Your Kids. She has a new one out called I Need Some Help Here, and the subtitle is Hope for When Your Kids Don't Go According to Plan. So we'll get good advice today. Kathy, welcome back to Connecting Faith.
Oh, Neil and Ted, thanks so much for having me back.
We always enjoy our conversations. I know there's several other books you've written, too, even about praying for mates, and maybe we'll touch on that as we go along as well. But I thought we'd start with some back-to-school talk, because it is that time of year. So, you've done all sorts of things in terms of kind of connecting with your kids and organizing and meal planning, all those things. Are there some top keys that you would recommend for us sort of getting the school year off to a good start? And I'm thinking particularly about Ted because, he needs the help. So
Thank you.
Ted seems like he's a pretty capable guy.
Well, that's true. That's true, actually. So,
but we can all use tips and ideas. And, one of the things that was really instrumental to getting our kids to adulthood and being capable human beings is every year we would start off the year with the night before school. We would talk about, what do your new responsibilities look like? You're a fourth grader. Here are the things that fourth graders are expected to do. And I would love to say that all of our kids rose to meet that challenge every single year. I would say the girls did. The boys maybe need a little bit more coaching, a little bit more encouragement. But really saying, as they get older, they needed to be more responsible for their backpacks. They needed to help more with prepping their lunches. is. They needed to be, you know, it wasn't my fault if they forgot to bring the permission slip home when they were in sixth grade. So just setting the expectations for our kids every year and doing it in a fun way, you know, the night before school having a little party, a launch party, and saying, hey, we understand that this is your job and you're starting back to your job and we want to be here to support you. And, you know, things in our family would change, so we would need to let them know about the changes. Mom, you know, could drive for these things, but not these things. And really set it off with a tone of, here are the expectations, but we also know that you're capable, and we believe in you, and we're here to work on this together.
Hmm. Well, I was thinking, too, I guess that verse about, sin is crouching at the door. I was thinking about chaos lurking, you know, in most of our homes. You know, I'm wondering, is there an area where maybe that sort of that chaos lurks and can sort of derail success? I mean, I don't know if it's from meals to organizing to any of those things.
Well, I think that for most parents who are in the midst of school-age kids, they're like, tell me the areas that are not like that. But I remember coming home one day and when I was a kid, and my mom said, Kathy, I'd like some mystery in our relationship. I would like to not know what you had for a snack when you got home. I would like to not know where you kicked your shoes off as soon as you got in the house. And so one of the things that I remember being so crazy about when my kids were in junior high and high school is apparently they all thought they were Japanese and would kick their shoes off as soon as they came through the door, which was fine. That was great. But we had these piles of shoes in the front door that I knew somebody was going to trip and die, and it would probably be me. So I got the genius idea that I was going to create these shoe cubbies, and I put the cubbies behind our couch in the living room so that when the kids would come home, they could put their shoes in the cubbies. Well, what I failed to realize is that no child has ever willingly put anything away in their entire lives. Why did I think that they were going to crawl behind the couch and put their shoes away? But what we finally did is we got a giant basket from IKEA, and we just said, hey, when you come through the door, this is where your shoes go. And 50% of the time, the shoes made it in there. And you know, it was so much neater than having everything strewn around the house all the time. And so our kids did get into the habit of just throwing their shoes into that basket, because when they would look for their shoes in the morning, there was a chance that they may be in that basket. So that really actually worked for our family.
Yeah, I mean, at least one of the two, you'd think, would be
exactly
there. So I mean, if we're only going for 50%, then that's that actually does raise a question. Is, you know, you said about 50% of the time, maybe do we as parents need to chillax, or whatever the kids would say, right? That maybe if we get compliance 50% of the time or so, that, I mean, we don't have to expect perfection?
I think expecting perfection is just going to frustrate a parent. We have to realize, and this is not to say that we need to be lax on the important things, but let's save our battles for the important things. Let's save our energy and our parental coaching for that kind of stuff. Now, if you have somebody in your house who is going through that, I have a friend whose child has disabilities, and a shoe on the floor is a big deal. Then, you know what? Let's make a big deal out of it. For most of us, it's really not, though. But we do need to see that growth in our kids. You know, maybe in fourth grade, the expectations to have the shoes in the basket 100% of the time, a little unrealistic. But as the kids get older, we need to expect more, especially if they want not just more responsibility, but more rights. And in our house, rights always went along with responsibility. If you could show us that you could do your chores without being nagged 100 times, if you could show us that you were doing your best, it didn't mean that you were getting A's, but you were doing the best to your capacity, that's when you got things like a driver's license, not when you turned 16. Because we all know 16-year-olds, there is nothing there that guarantees maturity. So we need to make sure that we see that growth before they have the rights that go along with the responsibilities.
Talking today with Kathy Lipp, and she's authored, a dozen or so books, including the new one, I Need Some Help Here, Hope for When Your Kids Don't Go According to Plan, but also the Get Yourself Organized, solution, 21 ways to connect with your kids, the what's for dinner solution. We're going to talk more about kind of back to school and getting organized, all those things here in the moments ahead. And we'd love to have you join the conversation. In fact, we've got a couple of copies of Kathy's books, kind of a variety, I think four or five of some of the books that she's written. So we'll be happy to send one your way if you want to just call and sign up for the drawing for that. Or better yet, call and ask Kathy a question about maybe your life and family and organization and parenting and all those things. We'd love to have you join in with us. And you can do that with a phone call at 877-933-2484. 877-933-FAITH. Or if it's more convenient, you want to drop us a note, go to myfaithradio.com and then click on the Connecting Faith show page. And there's an email link right there. And that'll come right in the studio. And so we can take your question that way as well. In a moment, I'm going to talk with Kathy, just find out maybe what routines have changed to make the Lipp household run more smoothly over the years. Her kids are pretty much grown, so we'll just see what's changed in her life, and great great advice for the rest of us as well, no matter what stage our parenting might be in. So join us with the conversation. Call us now at 877-933-2484. Oh, it's tough being a kid today, isn't it? thankfully, we've got great help from Kathy Lipp to coaches to parent our kids well and maybe offer some encouragement to kids as well. Kathy has authored a number of books, including The Husband Project, The Marriage Project, The Me Project, The What's for Dinner Solution, The Get Yourself Organized Solution, and many others. Kathy is, in fact, was named one of the best of broadcasts for folks in the family. She and her husband, Roger, are parents of four young adults. And talking with us today about kind of back to school and planning and organizing all those things. We welcome you to join the conversation as well, 877-933-2484. Kathy, I am curious. I mean, you've been writing and speaking and doing seminars, all these things for a number of years. I'm wondering, as your kids were growing, if there were some routines that you changed or adapted over the years to make your household a well-oiled machine.
Well, and you know, I think that we're all constantly in flux. So what works for one family one day is not going to work for another family another day. But I think that's why we keep trying and we keep learning and we keep adapting. One of the things that was really important to us, and I know that, you know, we've mentioned it before here, is freezer cooking. You know, I didn't do the bulk of my traveling until my kids were a little bit older, but there were often times I was gone overnight or, you know, I was going to be coming home late in the day. And so we did a lot of freezer cooking at our house. And it's something that my kids participated in. They helped us with preparing meals and getting things into the freezer so that if I knew I was going to be home, you know, after 4 o'clock, I could have somebody else put that in the oven for me and we could still have dinner at home. Because you think about it, we had four kids. You trying to go out to dinner with four kids, think about the you know, you don't get out of there for less than probably, you know, if you're, it's a sit-down place, $100. And so if you can have that $10 meal at home versus $100 out, and think of the time and energy that can all save, it's a deal all day long. The other thing that I think was really important was that my kids were not morning kids for the most part. I don't know a lot of morning kids, to be honest with you, except for when they're, you know, toddlers.
Yeah.
But we would make sure that things that needed to be done had to be done the night before. And we had a launching pad by the front door, and that's where everybody's backpacks went. If you needed a permission slip signed, it needed to be signed the night before. We got to the point where we would tell our kids, no, you cannot ask for money. You can't ask for permission slips the day of, because it just makes our life, you know, with one kid, you might be able to get away with it. Four, we were losing our minds. And so we would also, though, try to ask them the night before, anything you need from me, for school tomorrow, anything we need to do. And it wasn't up to us, but we could ask that at the dinner table and say, let's just get it all literally out here on the table right now so that we can take care of it in advance instead of having a panicked morning tomorrow.
Yeah, that all makes great sense. And and the freezer cooking, something you probably tended to do on the weekends, right?
We did. I would shop on a Friday, and then we would cook on a Saturday and try to get 20 meals into the freezer that would last us most of the next month. And, you know, different kids enjoy different processes of it, but one of my kids, you know, he wants to be a cook now, and he traces it back to our freezer meal days, and all of my kids can prepare their own meals now, which I used to think was a given, but turns out that's not true for all kids. So all of my kids were able to feed themselves by the time they were 15, a cooked meal, and I find that that was really, really important in our family.
Yeah, I appreciate you clarifying that, because if, you know, feeding themselves, you know, there's, if they can find a cereal box, they'll live probably anyway. But,
yes, exactly. Exactly. You know, we were one step beyond the cereal box.
Good, good. You know, speaking of meals, you know, there lots of studies out that suggest, you know, a few meals together during a week can really have a positive impact on the family. And I know you've got the What's for Dinner solution. So maybe just say some words about how to commit to some meal times together and why that's so valuable.
You know, I think that there are a couple of things that really did help. The freezer meals. You know, I think that when mom has to come home or dad has to come home and come up with a miracle for dinner, the chances of people being able to eat together get really, really lessened. And so having a plan for dinner, even if it's, you know, once a week you drive through and you bring home a meal in a paper bag, if that's what you need to do and you can eat out on the back patio, I think that that totally counts as a win. And if dinner is really tough because either dad's coming home late or mom's got meetings or whatever that is, then can you make dinner, you know, your meal together at a different time? Can that be breakfast? But to say that we can never make time to have a meal together, it's you're missing out on the best part of family. I really do believe that. So we usually have all of our adult kids over on a Sunday night. They're all broke, so this works right now because they get free meals and leftovers.
Yeah.
And also, you know, one of the things that we've done is, even though we have adult kids who are living on their own, they come home and we do freezer cooking then too, so that they can have some good meals to have during the week. But getting around the table, I think, is more than just the food. It's also, is there something to look forward to? One of the things that we've done is we have a variety of questions that we ask, and we have those in the What's for Dinner solution. And those are things like, if you could be invisible for a day, what would you do? You know, silly questions that my kids still love. Or maybe just having an awesome time, you know, talking about, when we're talking about our days, never ask yes or no questions or things that could be answered with the word fine. You have to dig a little deeper, asking questions like, so what did you talk about in history today? Or did you get to sit with Brenny at lunch? You know, those are the kind of questions, you know, if you did, what did you talk about? Tell me about your new teacher. And get these kids, start these habits now that school is starting back up. And if you need to, have a discussion about them, saying, this is how we're going to do things. And even if school started 2 weeks ago, say, hey, we're going to have dinner to celebrate the start of school. Always take the opportunity to celebrate, even if it's after the fact.
Yeah, there's no reason not to celebrate. I think those are
right.
Good words.
Exactly.
So the questions, even if you haven't really been doing those questions, I mean, it's okay to just start, right?
And absolutely. Just, yeah. My kids still like doing these, and which is crazy to me because they're adults. But, you know, we've got just make up questions on your own. You know, asking if you could only eat one food for a week, what food would you have? If you had a time machine, where would you go and why? So far, what's been the happiest day of your life? I mean, these are really simple questions that we could come up with on our own. Or, you know, if you Google Kathy Lipp dinner time conversation starters, you will find a list. So we can make sure that, you know, we can put a link up there on our blog so that you can have that.
Good. And the objective is not necessarily to find, I mean, you get information, but it's getting the kids talking, right?
It's getting the kids talking. talking. And let's be honest, it's getting the adults talking as well. I wanted my kids to know me and my husband as adults, not just as parents. So when we were talking about our favorite shows growing up, you know, talking about Mork and Mindy, talking about, you know, the Welcome Back, Kotter was one of our favorite shows. Now, which was really funny because I went back and watched that with my kids. It's a terrible show. It's so stupid. But at the time, I absolutely loved it. And so having those kind of discussions and saying why this was important and talking about my favorite books that I had when I was growing up that some of my kids have gone back and read, and getting to know each other, not just as mom and dad, but getting to know each other as people and getting our kids to be able to engage in conversation, you know. And I get it, you know, I still have kids that, you know, will give me grunt answers, but then we release them on the world and people tell me how awesome, you know, my son is at conversation. I'm like, really? My kid? But because he's had the foundation, he may not choose to always practice it at home, but he's able to do it in the world.
Yeah. Ted, we're just interacting a little bit. You use a couple of questions, right?
So asking what was your highlight today or what was your low point, both of those.
Highs and lows.
Yeah, that really opens up the discussion. Then we can delve deeper into what happened.
Yeah.
I think that's a great idea. It's a very simple question, a very memorable question. And, you know, and then the other thing is to have some family projects, you know, every once in a while doing something along the lines of, you know what, for this week, I'm going to ask you every night how you help somebody. And, you know, the kids may have to really stretch, but at least it'll get them thinking about how can I help somebody today before dinner because dad's going to ask. And I think that there's a special wait to when dad asks the questions. Let's get dad involved and not have these always be a mom project. So, Ted, I love that. Your highlights and lowlights, you know, what has really gone right for you today, what has been really tough, and, you know, it also gives us a way to pray for each other.
We should probably address the fact that there are a number of homes where dad isn't around, and I know you've experienced that as well, but just say a word about, you know, maybe some encouragement to the single moms listening.
Well, and I have, like you said, I've been there. I was a single mom for several years, and I think that one of the things why I think it's so important for dads to ask these questions is because we need to make sure that we're building respect for men, and it's so easy for sometimes us to get into the habit of not doing that. But even in a single mom's family, one, having respect for men, I think, is a brilliant, wonderful thing to teach, especially around our young girls and our young men, so that we know, you know, even though this situation didn't work out, we still believe that God has there are men in this world who are doing great things, and let's talk about that. But for those single moms, I would say one thing is if there's any way for you to be around extended family, we ended up moving in with my parents, and my kids had my dad to have that relationship with as well. But they also had an extra set of mom arms in my mom, their grandma. And that was absolutely a beautiful thing for my kids to grow up with. If you're not near family and that doesn't work for your family, then getting around some other adults, men and women, that can speak into your lives. One of the things I did with one of my friends who was also single is we would have dinner at my house on Tuesday night, so she would bring all of her kids over, and we would do dinner at her house on Thursday night. And so, one, it gave me a night off of cooking, which was a beautiful thing, and two, it was just a great way to increase our family size a couple times a week and really build into each other's lives.
Good words from Kathy Lipp. They're practical, they're encouraging, they're inspiring. And we're talking about not only organizing life, but about living life in a way that can please the Lord and help us follow Him. Wisdom and humor is what Kathy's known for. She's written a dozen or so books. One of her latest is called I Need Some Help Here, Hope for When Your Kids Don't Go According to Plan. And we'll get into that here in a moment. I want to invite you to join the conversation as well. We've got some copies of her books to give away. And love to have you with your questions. Join the conversation at 877-93-FAITH. It's 877-933-2484. More with Kathy Lipp in just a moment.
I need somebody help, not just anybody help. need someone.
Well, we're talking about getting some help, some practical help, when parenting, it doesn't seem like it's just going quite according to plan, or at least maybe your kids aren't going according to plan. That's the subtitle for Kathy Lipp's latest book called I Need Some Help Here, and it's published by Revell. Kathy's written a number of books, including the What's for Dinner Solution, the Husband Project, the Marriage Project, the Get Yourself Organized Solution, 21 Ways to Connect with Your Kids. And then the latest, I Need Some Help Here. We'll talk about that in a moment. But Kathy in Minneapolis called and asked if you could, Kathy Lipp, could explain the colored boxes method of organizing. And I'd love to have you do that.
Yes. Well, so what I ask women is to get three boxes. Now, there are those great collapsible ones you can get at Target. But if you can't find them there, you can take any box. And we divide them by three colors, an orange box, a purple box, and a green box. And then we get you two bags. So usually it's a black bag and a white bag, you know. But you do what you need to do. You use what you have. If you have three laundry baskets, that's totally fine, too. But the reason we ask you to do orange, purple, and green, and you could just tie a ribbon to them if that's helpful to remember the colors, it's when you are cleaning any room. So I'm looking at my office right now, which could totally use a tidy. And so orange is anything that belongs in another room. So other rooms goes into that orange box. That could be books that are out of sorts. I'm in my office. Maybe there is a coffee cup or two or six in my office that need to go to the kitchen. That goes into the orange box. Anything that is just, it needs to go into another room completely. Now, green is giveaway. This means anything that you no longer want to keep. So, you know, I've recently lost some weight, which is, I don't get to say it very often, so I'm going to say it loud and proud. So if I was in my office and I had a jacket in there, I'm like, oh, this is looking frumpy, I would throw that into the giveaway box. Maybe I have a plethora of folders that I know somebody else could be using, so I could give those away. Anything like that. Then purple is put back. So anything that is in the right room, but it's just out of place, you put it in the purple box. And you can sort through a pretty substantial area in a very short amount of time. So I ask people to set their timer for 15 minutes and just go to town with those three boxes. Then you have the black bag for garbage and the white bag for recycling. And so, or you could just put, if you've got two white bags, put a G on one for garbage and R on the other for recycling. The reason I think the colors are so important is because you can teach your kids how to do this as well, so that they can have those three boxes and two bags, and they can sort through all of their stuff very, very quickly. Now, when the 15 minutes are up, what you do is you take that green box, that's your giveaway box, and you can bag that stuff up and take it directly to your car, so the next time you're by Goodwill or whoever you donate to, you can donate those items. The purple you can put back in that same room, and then the orange box, the other rooms box, you just go and you deliver all those items to the other box, take the garbage to the garbage and the recycling to the recycling, and I do this in 15-minute spurts. You know, I set the alarm for 15 minutes, and then putting everything back takes probably another 5 to 10 minutes, but you've cleaned a section of your house very thoroughly and very well in a very short amount of time.
And I mean, the 15 minutes sounds like really something, particularly maybe if you want to get the kids involved, or you know, maybe right. Your husband, for example, but say, well, yes. You know, for 15 minutes, just about anybody can commit to doing that. Right. I mean, even if you're, you know, end of the day, you can still do 15 minutes to make a difference.
Exactly. And, you know, that's one of the things that when we were talking about dinner time, I think is so important. I think the reason that so many women really hesitate wanting to do dinner is because not only do you have to cook it, but there's all the cleanup as well. And so one of our rules at our house is no mom left behind. since I'm the one doing most of the cooking, I don't also have to do all the cleanup. Everybody has to stay until that room is cleaned up. So it sets the expectation, especially for kids, that dinner doesn't just magically happen. We need to have a plan for this, and we need to make sure that we are also taking everybody's needs into consideration.
Mm. Are there just appreciate the no moms left behind, and are there times when you have to sort of revisit the rules or the standards or the plan?
Can we just lay it out there? We're going to have to say these things until our kids move out of the house. It's not their priority right now, and so I've seen all these ads on the no nagging mom, and I think that yes, we don't have to nag, but we do have to remind. We have to make sure that our kids are, this is not natural for them. Their natural inclination is going to be to get out of as much stuff as they possibly can. So if we can just set our minds to saying, hey, this is a learning process, and as they get older, they probably will do better. But for now, I'm a coach, and a coach has to remind their team, constantly adjusting, constantly reminding what good form looks like, what good practices look like, and that's my job. I'm the coach.
Mm-hmm. And as you say, hopefully when your kids get out of the house, they can manage on their own, and they're reasonably well-adjusted.
Right. My daughter tells me all the time, man, being a grown-up is hard. But I see her maneuvering, and the other thing that gives me such hope is that our kids come back to us and ask for advice. That they see the wisdom in doing things our way that, they thought we were complete idiots about beforehand. But now, as they get older, they see, okay, maybe mom and dad weren't as crazy as I thought. And so we have a chance to stay in their lives and speak into their lives. And that's really, that's a win parenting style way.
Well, speaking of that, let's get into your new book, or one of the new ones. I know you've been writing a lot, but this is called I Need Some Help Here. And the subtitle is Hope for When Your Kids Don't Go According to Plan. And I mean, it may be that, your kids aren't, it seems like you're constantly revising the plan and they're not really responding. So just say a few words about, what was your purpose in writing this book?
Well, it was so interesting because when my kids got a little bit older, and not that we had done everything right, but I have to say, my husband and I, we've read all the books, we've done everything we knew how to do. My husband is a godly man. We tried to do our best, and my kids were not turning out according to plan. We had some issues, we had some discipline issues, we had some heart issues, and as my kids got older, I was more and more frustrated that, I felt kind of gypped. Like, people said, if you do the right things, your kids will turn out the right way, and that was not our experience. And so I started, at one point, I was getting very honest with a couple of my friends who were also authors, who have terrific kids. They've got the dream kids who had, teaching in Annapolis, we've got private colleges, all this kind of stuff. But I was not in that boat, and I was very frustrated and sad. And so finally I opened up to them, and, each of them had one kid who was doing what they were supposed to be doing, but then they each had another kid who was not going according to plan. And I started to, as I got more and more honest with more and more people, I started to see that all these parents who had done their best to raise kids who would love God and would be living life according to His plan were just were suffering. Their hearts were broken. And so as I started to talk with more parents, I realized this was not uncommon. In fact, we almost got to the point where we should be expecting some of this rebellion, some of this pulling away from what we taught them. And that's heartbreaking to feel, but it also, parents need to know that, that their case is not unusual, and this happens to so many people. So I wrote the book, one, to say, one, you're not alone, but two, we also have to realize that our kids are gods, and it's not up to us 100% to make sure they turn out whatever okay looks like. That God has a hand in their life, and our biggest help is to pray for them as they start to learn to make their own choices.
Got a copy of Kathy's book, I Need Some Help, here, and would love to give it away. If you want to join the conversation, at least sign up for the book, you can call us at 877-93-FAITH, 877-933-2484. Talking with Kathy Lipp today. And Kathy, is it just part of kind of coming to the realization that, well, all right, my child is different? It's not the, you know, sort of the maybe the ideal or even like their brother or sister.
Well, and that's really it. You know, anybody who has two kids knows, you think to yourself, did they really are they the same species, much less from the same family? And, you know, the things that drive us crazy about our kids, you know, I have one little girl who is, she was the most strong-willed child I'd ever heard of. This was the child that when I told her she couldn't come into her friend's house, we were just stopping by their house, and she had to stay in the car, which meant I could see her the whole time, but apparently I wasn't paying too close attention, because when I told her she couldn't go into the house and she had to stay in the car, I came back to the car with a wet front seat, because that little girl had gotten up there and whizzed in that front seat, and she let me know her displeasure. Now, she's turned out to be a terrific young lady, but this is a girl who will not be swayed by the world. She has her own relationship with God, her own opinions, and you know, I never had to worry about her being led astray by people to things that she didn't want, because she had such a strong will and such a good way. But you know, the things that drive us crazy when they're kids turn out to be some of their biggest strengths when they're older. It's just about understanding and appreciating those things, and that's what the book is about.
So are there some ways in which we can appreciate, you know, the good things about our kids if they're seeming like they're acting up on all fronts? I mean, you know, I mean, it's sort of hard to get perspective and say, yes, this, you know, long term, this child is really going to be a great leader. But right now they're rebellious.
Right now they're making me crazy.
Yeah.
Yes. I think the most important thing we can do, besides understanding their personalities, and we actually have something you can do online over at KathyLipp.com. If you go to my book, 21 Ways to Connect with Your Kid, if you go to that tab, you'll see an assessment where you can take a little quiz to determine your child's personality. And that will give you some key insights into who they are and how God has developed them. But I think also the other thing is, God does not want us to parent alone. And I'm not just talking about husbands and wife. I'm talking about other moms. Get together with other moms who understand kids, who, you know, that have lived a little bit of life. We actually, I told you about my two friends who were both authors and, you know, had one great kid but one challenging kid. We actually started on a little online club for the three of us called the Bad Moms Club, because we were all feeling like bad moms at exactly the same time. And don't you love when God gives you people in the pit with you? And we were all in the pit. And so we got online and we started to pray together. We started to talk together. We started to love on each other and love each other's kids. And, you know, when their kids were out of control, we could say, well, you know, this is what my child went through. And we can talk to each other and really encourage each other. It's been a lifesaver for me.
Mm. KathyLipp.com is the website. It's KathyLipp, KathyLipp.com. Check it out. Some of the great books she's written, the 21 Ways to Connect with Your Kids. And again, you can look for that little assessment tool there, kind of get a sense of your kids' personality. There's also the What's for Dinner solution, the Get Yourself Organized solution, and the one that we're referencing here for the next few minutes is called I Need Some Help Here, Hope for When Your Kids Don't Go According to Plan. And we'll talk a little bit about, you know, when your child is troubled and some of the other challenges that come up when they're sick, when they're lacking character, when they're struggling. How do we deal with that? Love to have you join the conversation. Here's the number. It's 877-933-2484. More with Kathy Lipp in a moment.
Train up a child in the way you should live. Give him the truth.
that it needs to grow. Though the world may often entice me and try to snatch your soul,
when I was a little boy, the devil called my name.
When I was just a boy,
say now, who do you think you're fooling?
Oh, it's no easy way of growing up today. I think it's tough for kids and certainly for parents, and that's what Kathy Lipp is recognizing and talking about in her wonderful new book called "I Need Some Help Here: Hope for When Your Kids Don't Go According to Plan." And it's from Rebel Kathy Lipp, of course, a well-known speaker, and she leads conferences and writes regularly, and you can probably see her here on Focus on the Family and a number of other places, and we're happy to have her back with us on Connecting Faith, talking about the book. The phone number is 877-93-FAITH, if you'd like to join in or at least to sign up for one of Kathy's books. Got a few to give away. One of the chapters in your book, "I Need Some Help Here," is what to do when your child is troubled. And the opening chapter says, "A mother is only as happy as her most miserable child." And you know, it's tough growing up today. I mean, kids have reasons to be troubled.
Right. Absolutely. And you know, our heart just breaks. Our heart breaks when we see our kids in so much pain. And so, I interviewed just a ton of moms who were going through different heartbreaks with their kids. You know, we call it "My Kids Weren't Supposed to Turn Out This Way" club. You know, it's just it's very tough. And so one of the things that I think is so important is that so much of our kids' life will not be determined by their lack of pain, but how they handle their pain. And, you know, I have a friend right now, Christian, who is 13 years old, who was born with a defective heart and has had a heart transplant and is now going through lymphoma treatments because of his weakened immune system. And, you know, I just I think about what he's gone through and what his family has gone through. And, of course, nobody would ever choose that path. But this child is resilient. He loves God. He loves his family. He loves people, and he loves to laugh. And it breaks my heart that he's gone through this, and we don't get to choose who goes through what. But because his parents have surrounded him with people of faith, and they have, you know, they have a compassion for people that they could never even imagine. And Christian's family has taught me so much about how to care for the sick and care for people who are going through hard times. And I look at the pain that my kids have gone through, that I have gone through, and how can we be an encouragement to people when we haven't gone through anything? And that's, you know, part of the, I hate for anybody's pain to be wasted. And that's why moms can be together and encourage each other and love on each other when their kids are riding off the rails. And we can be that beacon of hope when things maybe aren't going the way that we think they should be.
Well, it probably takes a little honesty, too, doesn't it? Where even if it seems like your friends all have it together, that at some point you need to say, you know, it's not quite like I'd hoped or wanted to be.
Well, exactly. One of my friends from church, and I have permission to tell her story, her son started smoking marijuana, and this was the family, you know, dad's on the deacon board, mom is a great volunteer. And it's not that they just do things. They are wonderful people. They care deeply about their family. They care deeply about other people. But their son took a different route. And she couldn't tell anybody, and then she finally told me, and she said, "The reason I told you is because you've been so honest about your own struggles." And, you know, it's kind of a weird compliment that, you know, we've been through so much and we've shared so much, people feel comfortable talking to us, but they know, one, that they're not going to be judged, and two, they know that we're not going to love their kids any less. And I think that strikes at the heart of fear for parents is that people will stop accepting their kids if they know the truth about them. But you know what? The right people will not stop loving on your kids when they know the truth about them. They'll understand that kids go through these things and kids make bad choices, but good people make bad choices all the time.
Yeah, it's a good point. In the book, you offer not only ways to pray and the opportunity to pray for your child, but to pray for yourself. So maybe talk about both and what you'd recommend maybe in terms of how we do that.
Our kids do not live their lives on their own. When our kids are making decisions, it affects us. And, you know, I remember that old saying about our child is our heart walking around outside of our body. But they're also making decisions that we don't get to have input into sometimes. And as our kids get older, you know, we go less and less from control to influence. And one of the things that's been very, very important to me is to let my kids know, I love you without condition, but that doesn't mean I love every choice you make. And that doesn't, I don't want those choices to separate us because that's not God's model of love for us. But I need you to know that I love you no matter what those choices are, and I want to be able to speak into your life. We have a daughter who is living with her boyfriend. I hate the situation. I hate it because, at first, I'll be honest, I was embarrassed by it. You know, I'm a Christian speaker and author. How could you do this to me? Well, it has nothing to do with me. You know, and I think that that would be almost anybody's first reaction. How, you know, you're embarrassing me. But I, you know, when I really got down to it, and I started to pray about it, and I started to pray about why was this grieving me so much, and it's because it's less than God's best for their relationship. And we believe in this young man, and we believe that he is the right one for our daughter, but we believe that they're settling for less than God's best for their lives. And when I'm able to express that to her without judgment, just saying, I love you desperately, and I want God's best for you, my daughter can receive that in a way that is not filled with judgment. It's not filled with shame. It's not filled with guilt. It's filled with love. I want the best for you. And so, but my heart has to be in a place of being submitted to God to be in that place, because my human reaction is, how dare you? And so I have to get past the how dare you to how much I love you. And prayer is the place that takes me there.
Yeah. And not only praying for your child, but obviously praying, you know, for yourself too, to have the right attitude, but I guess not to give up too, right?
Right. Oh, persevere, pray and persevere, really. And persevere your child's heart. Again, you may not be in a great position with them right now, but saying, you know, to get to the place where maybe you need to apologize for something. Maybe you've made a decision saying, you know, you will not set foot in the house in our house as long as you're dating that girl, or you dropped out of school, so we've dropped out of your life, whatever that is. You know, we can always go back and ask for forgiveness for our kids and start that relationship in a new way. And just saying, you know what, I'm not giving up on you because I love you, and God chose me to be your parent, and God did not make a mistake in that. And I know sometimes you feel like it, and sometimes I feel like I'm not equipped, but I love you, and I want to have a relationship with you.
And I guess you just keep looking for the bright spots, the answers to prayer along the way, right? Because it may be a long season. So.
Yeah, I keep asking people too. You know, when we do marriage conferences, when Roger and I teach at marriage conferences, people want to talk to us all the time about, you know, what did you say to your kids when you found out they were smoking marijuana, you know, when you're living together, all those kind of things. And, you know, these are the pressures on marriage these days. It's not even so much the marital pressures, it's the pressures of these kids. And so keep asking, keep seeking, and keep finding people who have been in your position, who understand what it feels like to be on the outside fringes. And as you meet your team, you meet your other people, you will start to find your people as well.
Well, say maybe a word about some of the resources or ways to get linked up through your website, because I know you're writing and blogging regularly. So what can we find
yeah.
there? So.
Well, if you go to KathyLipp.com, that's KathyLipp.com, we have a couple of different things for you, which I'm so excited about. One is that all my books can be found there. You can find most of the first chapters free. Go and just explore, and we have a ton of free resources for you, plus the blog. But also, we have a new weekly podcast. It's called So Here's the Thing with Kathy Lipp, where we interview authors, and we talk to them about their best pieces of advice for women and moms in this very challenging time of their lives. And so you'll get some sweet encouragement, have a couple of laughs, and just be encouraged to be the mom and the wife and the woman that God has designed you to be.
Good words. So check it out, KathyLipp.com, and look for the podcast too. So Here's the Thing with Kathy Lipp. So that sounds great. Hey, by the way, congratulations on the changing size, right? So that was a big accomplishment, huh?
Oh, thank you so much. I so appreciate it. We're still working on the shrink ray, but yes. In the meantime, it's the hardest thing I've ever done in my life, but I'm really, really grateful. I feel 100% better.
Well, wonderful. I'm sure you probably have written a bit about that as well, and it can be some encouragement to somebody who'd like to get on that journey as well. So.
Yeah, on my blog. I don't know that I'm brave enough to write about it in a book yet, but, okay. You know, we'll see where God takes us.
All right. Well, thanks for all the books you've written. The one we've been referencing the last few minutes, I Need Some Help Here. It's Hope for When Your Kids Don't Go According to Plan. Recommended readings from Revell. Kathy Lipp, well-known speaker, leads conferences, women's events across the country, and you can find out more on their website, KathyLipp.com, and we'll have a link, of course, to our program, our interview up on the website here shortly, so you can check that out. If you missed part of the today's show, it's myfaithradio.com, and then just click on Connecting Faith for the podcast archive.